Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. A servant who desires material profits from his master is certainly not a qualified servant or pure devotee. Similarly, a master who bestows benedictions upon his servant because of a desire to maintain a prestigious position as master is also not a pure master. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:20, Kame steste rita jnana prapadyande na devataha. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto demigods. A demigod cannot become master, for the real master is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demigods, to keep their prestigious positions, bestow upon their worshippers whatever benedictions the worshippers want. For example, once it was found that an asura took a benediction from Lord Shiva by which the asura would be able to kill someone simply by placing his hands on that person's head. Such benedictions are possible to receive from the demigods. If one worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, the Lord will never offer him such condemned benedictions. On the contrary, it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.8, Yasyaham anugrinami harishe tadhanam shane. If one is too materialistic, but at the same time wants to be a servant of the Supreme Lord, the Lord, because of his supreme compassion for the devotee, takes away all his material opulences and obliges him to be a pure devotee of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj distinguishes between the pure devotee and the pure master. The Lord is the pure master, the supreme master, whereas an unalloyed devotee with no material motives is the pure servant. One who has materialistic motivations cannot become a pure servant, cannot become a servant. And one who unnecessarily bestows benedictions upon his servant to keep his own prestigious position is not a real master. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So with the permission of all the devotees, I'll try to speak some words on today's verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So here, Prahlad Maharaj is giving us a wonderful teaching. He's explaining who is a pure servant and who is a pure master. And today we'll try to discuss these points of how Krishna is the supreme pure master and how the unalloyed pure devotee is the pure servant. We'll start with Krishna as the pure master. People have a conception of God which often is very one-dimensional, which is very monotone, which is very infantile, very simplistic. People have this notion that if I perform my activities in life, I render some service to God and I say some prayers, then God will be happy and God will bestow prosperity on me and then I will be happy. And then basically God's happy, I'm happy, and we all live happily ever after. And this is a very basic understanding of God and his relationship with the devotees. Because actually Krishna is more interesting than that. Krishna, in many, many weird and wonderful ways, intensifies his relationship with the devotees by creating certain circumstances in the life of the devotee that will increase their desire to go back home, back to Godhead. Krishna is known as Rasaraj. Rasaraj means Krishna who is the king of all relationships, the king of all mellows. And therefore, Krishna knows how to wonderfully act in a devotee's life in order to intensify that bond and make it stronger and stronger. And Krishna does this in devious ways and ways that we can't understand. Of course, Krishna is a very interesting God. Nietzsche, the German philosopher, he was obviously famous for the statement, God is dead. There was one picture on the internet of a wall in New York, a graffiti wall, and it had, God is dead, signed Nietzsche. And then below it, someone had come and written, Nietzsche is dead, signed God. So, Nietzsche was famous. He said, God is dead. But actually, Nietzsche's his life story was written by someone called Walter Kaufmann. And this Kaufmann, he gives us more understanding of Nietzsche's understanding of God. And he quoted Nietzsche, who once said, God? God? I will only believe in a God who knows how to dance. Unfortunately, he didn't read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, otherwise he may have become a theist. But he said, I will only believe in a God who knows how to dance. In other words, he had a conception of God, that God is very monotone, boring, self-righteous. He didn't understand this deeper nature of God as Rasaraj, the embodiment of all mellows and relationships. So the Lord is constantly making plans in the life of a devotee to bring them back home, back to Godhead. Like in the world today, conspiracy theories is a big thing, right? It's like huge across the internet, right? Was 9/11 an Al-Qaeda attack? Or was it an orchestration of the Bush administration in order to justify their military policy in the Middle East? Who knows? Right? Was the AIDS virus created by the KGB as a means to reduce world population? Who knows? 50 years ago, did the US government cover up an alien interaction and UFO landing in New Mexico at Roswell? Who knows? Shakespeare. Was Shakespeare responsible for the body of works that bear his name? Or were all of those works actually authored by someone else? Who knows? I don't know. That's for sure. So there's so many conspiracy theories, and people are trying to find out the ins and outs of how the world is working. But actually, there's a bigger conspiracy theory going on. And that's actually Krishna's conspiracy theory. Because Krishna is conspiring in the life of every single devotee and making unimaginable, uncomprehendable arrangements so that that devotee will speed up their journey back home, back to Godhead. And often, the devotee and the devotees who are looking at that devotee cannot understand why what's happening in their life is really happening. Even Bhishma Dev in the first canto of the Bhagavatam explains, Na yasya karhichit papan puman veda vidit sitam vad tadvijikya saya yukta muyanti kavayo pihi. After everything has happened to the Pandavas, he said, who can understand the plan of the Lord? Yadvijigya saya yukta, you may question and question and speculate to try and understand why Krishna is doing something in this world. But muyanti kavayopihi, even if you're a kavi, a great learned philosopher, muyanti, you will be completely bewildered. You will not get your head around it, as they say. So Krishna is the pure master. There's one Christian prayer. It's a very nice prayer. It was someone who was reflecting on their prayers to God. And the person said, God, I prayed to you for strength, but you just kept sending me more and more obstacles. He said, God, I prayed to you for wisdom, but you just kept sending me more and more problems to solve. He said, God, I prayed to you for love, but you just kept sending me people who needed help. And then the person reflected. He said, actually, God, you answered every single one of my prayers, but you never gave me anything I wanted. You answered every single one of my prayers, but you never gave me anything I wanted. In other words, how Krishna achieves the purity within the devotee is very difficult for us to understand. And that's what's being explained here. That Krishna is the pure master, so he doesn't just give us what we want, but Krishna gives us what we need. And here, Prabhupada mentions the very famous verse from the 10th canto, where Krishna says, Yashyaham anugranami harisheta dhanam shane tato dhanam tyajantasya svajana dukadukhitam. This is a very, very interesting verse. In the world today, if you look at why people are atheists, they come up with very complex philosophies behind atheism. But actually, the real reason for atheism is that people have serious emotional issues. People are frustrated or disgruntled with God. People are questioning the age-old dilemma, the age-old question, why do bad things happen to good people? If you want to know the real reason behind atheism, this is the real reason. People are questioning, why do bad things happen to good people? It's a question which has been grappled with by philosophers for centuries. Epicurus, John Paul Sartre, St. Augustine, so many philosophers have given their two pence on why bad things happen to good people. Celebrated authors of the modern age like Richard Dawkins have given their little piece of how God doesn't exist because bad things happen to good people. In fact, there's a whole area of study known as theodicy. Theo means God, and dice or dike means justice. So theodicy is the study of how is God just, and it deals with this problem of evil. So this is a big question in the world today, and a big question within people's hearts. Why do bad things happen to good people? The amazing thing is that Krishna turns the argument on its head. Krishna actually turns the tables 180 degrees. Because Krishna says, Yasyaham anugrinami harishe tadhanam shane tato dhanam tyajantasya svajana dukadukitam. People are asking, why do bad things happen to good people? Krishna is saying, when one is good, in fact, when one is especially good, when one is especially qualified to receive the grace of the Lord, then what do? I give them more and more troubles. People are asking, why do bad things happen to good people? Krishna is saying, if you're good, I'm going to send you more bad things. That's part of the plan. So it's very, very interesting how Krishna, as the perfect master, is re-engineering our consciousness through different occurrences in life. Discounting the fact that anyone in this room is a Nitya Siddha, there's a real fact that we have to digest. And that's the fact that in the last life, somehow or other, we messed it up. The fact that we're in spiritual life now, we're on the path of Krishna consciousness, must mean that we most likely had some contact with this process in the last life. But the fact that we're here now means that there was something in the past life, something went wrong, there was some imperfection, there was some still residue of material desire. Something meant that we came back here. So Krishna, what he's doing is that through all the arrangements in a devotee's life, he's actually fine-tuning that devotee so that all this imperfection, all these anartas, all these impurities can actually be washed out of the system. And how Krishna does that is very, very difficult. And sometimes it's difficult to understand and sometimes very painful also. Like we give the example of, like say for example, if we're making an offering to Krishna of potato sabji, which we do every morning. So before that potato can be offered to Krishna, it has to be bought from the market. It then has to be washed in the kitchen. Then it has to be skinned. Then it has to be sliced. Then it has to be fried, and then it has to be spiced, and then it can be offered to Krishna. So we're not saying that we have to fry out all the devotees before they get to Krishna. That's not the purport. But the purport is that we have to go through many, many things before we will have that face-to-face darshan with Krishna, which Krishna promises in the Gita, because Krishna says to Arjuna that my unalloyed devotee can see me face to face, just as you are seeing me face to face. But in order for that to happen, the devotee has to undergo a process of purification. So Krishna is the perfect master, and he is making the perfect arrangements for the devotee, even though sometimes we may not be able to understand it. On the flip side, the pure devotee is the pure servant. Because the pure devotee, the pure servant, is able to take whatever Krishna is giving him and use it to go forward in their spiritual journey. If one is not a pure servant, if one is not a pure devotee, then sometimes the occurrences in their life can discourage them, divert them, frustrate them, disinspire them. And we see this. We see this in the society of devotees, and we see this, I can say for myself, in my own life. That the things that happen to us, sometimes we take it in a negative way. But the pure devotee is able to understand every occurrence as part of Krishna's plan to intensify the relationship. And so if we look at the Bhagavatam, there's innumerable stories of how devotees had to go through so many ups and downs in their spiritual life. Eternal associates of Krishna. And of course, even if we look at the life of Srila Prabhupada, who was also a Mahabhagavat, Nitya Siddha, eternal associate of Krishna, how many weird and wonderful ups and downs were there in Prabhupada's life? But in every single situation, Prabhupada remained 100% focused on Krishna and 100% convinced that whatever was happening was the will of Krishna. If we take some time to analyze Prabhupada's life, then we see that in the life of a devotee, Krishna may take everything away, or Krishna may give everything to the devotee. In Prabhupada's life, he went through both. First, Krishna took everything away from Srila Prabhupada. Once Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and then he came to this verse, Yashyaham Anugranami. And Prabhupada read the translation, he said, yes, when I especially favor someone, I take everything away. And then Prabhupada paused and he said, I have personal experience of this. And then the devotees started to laugh. And then Prabhupada became serious and he said, do not laugh. If it happens to you, you will be very morose. So Prabhupada said, I have personal experience of this, that Krishna will take everything away. Prabhupada, first his business failed. His own employees took everything and swindled Prabhupada out of so much money. Then later on, his family life, his family drifted away. Later on, Prabhupada got dreams where he was being told, take sannyas. And the first time Prabhupada had that dream, he said, it was horrible. How can I take sannyas? Give everything up. Finally, Prabhupada ended up in Vrindavan in the 1950s and 1960s. And everything had been taken away from him. I'll read this, Prabhupada. It's wonderful. Prabhupada writes this, Vrindavan Bhajan. So Prabhupada wrote this in Vrindavan, after everything had happened. Prabhupada writes, everyone has abandoned me, seeing me penniless. Wife, relatives, friends, brothers, everyone. This is misery, but it gives me a laugh. I sit alone and I laugh. Where have my loving father and mother gone now? And where are all my elders, who are my own folk? Who will give me news of them? Tell me who. All that is left of this family life is a list of names. So Prabhupada was in Vrindavan and Krishna took everything away. And Prabhupada was just completely dependent on Krishna. But he was happy and satisfied. Prabhupada said, I sit alone and I laugh. This is misery, but I sit alone and I laugh at Krishna's plan. The amazing thing is, after that, Prabhupada went to America. And then the whole thing turned around 180 degrees. All of Prabhupada's family had left him. But Prabhupada said, now I gave up a few children, now I have thousands of children. And so many devotees came to assist Prabhupada. Prabhupada, all his money was taken away. But when he came to the West and he began to preach, then Krishna gave all of that material resource in order for him to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. So Prabhupada, he was equal in both. When Krishna took everything away, he was happy. He understood it as the plan of the Lord. And when Krishna gave him everything, he was happy. He understood that as the plan of the Lord. If we see, Prabhupada, he went through honor and he went through dishonor as well. When Prabhupada spread the movement across the world, then he also had his critics. He also had people who criticized him. People who criticized him because he allowed women to stay in the temple. People who criticized him because he gave Brahmin initiation to Western devotees. People who criticized him because he was giving sannyas to such young bhaktas. people who criticized him because he accepted the title Prabhupada, people who criticized him because he was using material facilities to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, even Prabhupada was dishonored by certain people. Even people didn't appreciate what he did. The momentous task he did to spread the Krishna consciousness movement over the world, even there were some sections who didn't even recognize that as such a great thing. Anyone could have done that. Prabhupada used to tell this story of Christopher Columbus, who had discovered America. We're not sure, maybe. Conspiracy. When Christopher Columbus, he discovered America, and then he had a meeting with another group of people, discoverers or whatever. And they were critical. They said, what you have done, discovered America, any of us could have done it. So Christopher Columbus, he brought in an egg. Prabhupada tells a story. And he says, here's an egg. I want one of you to stand this egg on its head. So they're all kind of figuring it out. No one could do it, you know. And they're all baffled. And then Christopher Columbus said, hey, look, just give it to me. So Christopher Columbus, he took it, and then he kind of just popped it on the top. And then he stood it up. And he said, I told you guys to stand this egg on the head. Any of you could have done it, but I have done it. And Prabhupada, when he had his critics, he said, yes, any of them could have done it. Any of them could have spread the Krishna consciousness movement over the world, but I have done it. So if you read Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita purports, then he's very strong. He's very strong on the people who are criticizing him. So Prabhupada received that dishonor also, that criticism. And Prabhupada also received honor. Prabhupada, after he spread the movement all over the world, he would go to airports. There were thousands of people waiting for him, press reporters who wanted to interview him. Prabhupada had roads named after him, buildings named after him. And even now, even though Prabhupada has left the planet, his fame is increasing more and more and more. Prabhupada was equal in both honor and dishonor, because he saw all of it as part of Krishna's plan. Prabhupada, even in his life, went through success and failure. When Prabhupada tried to spread the Krishna consciousness movement over the world, there was a lot of failure. First, Prabhupada tried in Jhansi, and he thought he had this wonderful building, and he had it down, he had the papers, and he said, we're going to start the League of Devotees in Jhansi. And then at the last minute, they gazumped the building and Prabhupada lost it. Failure. Prabhupada then started to travel all over India, and he was trying to attract some young people to join him. And Prabhupada said, I'm going to every single Indian family and asking them, just give me one of your boys so that I can train him up and he can assist me in spreading this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. And Prabhupada couldn't even get one. Failure. Prabhupada, before he came to America, he was in Bombay and he was staying in the apartments next to the Scindia company next to their offices. Prabhupada was staying in the apartments next. Sumati Maharaji, she had arranged for Prabhupada to stay there. Every day Prabhupada would go out to distribute books and to try to meet people, influential people who could help him. And every day Prabhupada came back and nothing was happening. The employees of Scindia steamship, they would come by the apartments and they would see Prabhupada sitting in the room. And they would open the door and they would say, Swamiji, how was your preaching today? And Prabhupada would look a little down. And Prabhupada would say, nothing today. I didn't meet any interested people. Krishna is not sending. Maybe the time is not right. But I am confident tomorrow Krishna will give more indication. So even in Bombay, before Prabhupada came to America, failure. But Prabhupada was not fazed by that. Of course, then Prabhupada traveled across the seas to America. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shishigonitaiki. And even when Prabhupada came to America, first he started in Butler. But Butler didn't really work out. Prabhupada said, I want to go where the action is. So Prabhupada decided to go into the city. So Butler, failure. Then when Prabhupada came upstate to New York, then first he stayed in Dr. Mishra's apartment. But there Dr. Mishra had some Mayavadi tendencies and Prabhupada was restricted in what he could say. So Prabhupada said, this isn't going to work. Another failure. Then from Mishra's apartment, Prabhupada went to the Bowery. And in the Bowery, he was getting a good response. But then at one point, the person who he was living with in the Bowery practically threatened to kill Prabhupada. Prabhupada had to move out. Failure. Then Prabhupada went to 26 Second Avenue and Prabhupada founded the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's interesting, there was only about 8 people coming to the talks. But Prabhupada called it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We have incorporated it at 26 Second Avenue. Prabhupada had that vision. But so many failures Prabhupada went through, but he was never discouraged. He always saw this is the plan of the Lord. And then we know from 26 Second Avenue everything took off. So Prabhupada, he later reflected, he said, every time I was failing and Krishna wasn't giving me what I wanted, but in the back of my mind I knew, don't worry, carry on. Something better. Krishna has something better around the corner, but I just have to wait a little longer. So it was failure, 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 and then it really happened. So like this, if we look at the life of Prabhupada, we see that Prabhupada went through success and failure. Krishna took everything away from Prabhupada, and Krishna also gave everything to Prabhupada. Krishna arranged for Prabhupada to be dishonored. And Krishna also arranged for Prabhupada to be honored. But Prabhupada saw all of it as the plan of the Lord. So in this way, Prabhupada shows us. Of course, Krishna never did any of this for Prabhupada's purification, because we know Prabhupada is a Nitya Siddha. But Krishna does this to the devotees to show us, to the pure devotees to show us, that Krishna may also deal with us like this. And in all situations, we have to maintain that determination. Like Krishna says to Arjuna in the Gita, Sukhe duke same kritva, labha labo jayo jayo, tato yudhaya yujyashva, nevam papam avapsyasi. Krishna says to Arjuna, Sukhe duke, you may get happiness or you may get distress. Labo labo, you may get everything or everything may be taken away. Jayo jayo, you may win or you may lose. But tato yudhaya yujyashva, just carry on fighting. Nevam papam avapsyasi, and then you will not suffer any sinful reactions. Once Gandhi, he was traveling with one of his servants. And they got onto the train station. And you know what India's like, when the train comes, you have to make a run for it onto the train. So they both made a run for it onto the train. And as they got onto the train, they got on, both of them. But as the train was pulling away, they saw that in the process of getting onto the train, Gandhi had... one slipper had come off his foot and it was left on the platform, and he looked down and one slipper was on his foot. So as the train was pulling away, they were both looking out of the train door. Not, there's no doors there, but they're looking out of the train and they were looking at this one slipper. And then they looked at the one slipper on Gandhi's foot. And then Gandhi, you know what he did? He took the slipper off his foot. And he looked out of the train and he just threw it like that. And it just hit the other slipper, and then two slippers were there on the platform. And then the person who was with Gandhi said, what is the meaning of this? And then Gandhi, he said, If there's one thing I've learned in life, is this. Number one, accept the plan of the Lord. I left that slipper on the platform. There's no point lamenting. What's done is done. The first thing in life is you always have to accept the plan of the Lord. And then he said, number two, always try to make the best use and bring out positivity from any situation. He said, if I had left that one slipper on the platform and I had carried one slipper, I would be frustrated, and the guy who finds that one slipper, he's going to be frustrated. So better I throw the slipper and at least he can be happy that he found some slippers, and I can just forget about the whole incident because I don't see the slipper. Very instructive. This is a devotee. Whatever happens in life, number one, we accept it. We accept, yes, Krishna wants me to go through this. We don't blame others. We don't get frustrated. We don't get depressed. Yes, this is what Krishna wants me to go through. And number two, we always use that situation to go forward in spiritual life and to become more inspired. So, in this verse, I'll read the verse again. Prahlad is saying, a servant who desires material profits from his master is certainly not a qualified servant or pure devotee. In other words, if we come to Krishna consciousness and we think it's going to be a bed of roses, as they say, and it's all going to be happy and nice, it will in the ultimate sense, but in the journey there'll be a few twists and turns, as they say. And then Prahlad says, similarly, a master who bestows benedictions upon his servant because of a desire to maintain a prestigious position as master is also not a pure master. So Krishna doesn't want to just give us nice things so that we keep worshipping him. Krishna doesn't want to just give us material things so that Krishna can maintain his prestigious position. No, Krishna is more interested that the devotee becomes purified and goes back to Godhead. And therefore, Krishna doesn't just bestow benedictions that we like, but Krishna may bestow benedictions that we don't like. So today, I'm going to leave some time. We've got a few more minutes. Today we kind of discussed in this verse of Prahlad. Prahlad is explaining who is a perfect master and who is a perfect servant. We looked at the life of Srila Prabhupada and how Prabhupada embodies this pure servant in happiness, in distress, when Krishna gives everything, takes everything away, when Krishna gives honor, dishonor, the devotee is always taking that as a means to advance their spiritual journey. So I'll stop here. If anyone has any questions, corrections, comments,